Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. In this lesson, we're going to talk about the important moments in the life cycle of your app. Now, hopefully this will give you some insight as to what's going on inside of your app, even when it's no longer running on the device. So in a nutshell, your app is either running or it's not running or terminated, or it is suspended. So what's the difference between terminated and suspended? Well, when a user switches to another program, chances are your app will be suspended for a little while until the user switches back to your app. Now, during this time, the app is in hibernation, I guess you could say. In other words, the code in your app is not running, but the state of your application's objects and variables, including the frame and the frame's backstack, are kept in memory. This allows the user to switch between apps quickly and fluidly, and there's nothing lost there. However, it is possible that the phone's operating system will choose to terminate your app, which means that at some point it's removed from memory along with your application's objects and variables. This means that the next time that the user launches your app, it'll have no recollection of the state of that app the last time it was run. This means that any work that the user was doing is lost unless you somehow saved it, all right? And it means that the frame's last page is forgotten, as well as the entire backstack of the frame and so on. Now, you might be wondering, why would the phone ever take a suspended app and then at some point terminate it? Well, there's a couple of reasons why. Usually this happens because the phone needs more RAM and it's going to take out all the apps that haven't been used in a while and eject them, terminate them, and so it can free up some RAM resources. But it could also happen that if the phone runs out of battery, like mine is about to do here in a minute, then it will terminate all apps. Also, if the user chooses to reboot the phone with the power button, that would be another reason why the phone's operating system may choose to terminate apps. The key is that as an app developer, your app is notified that it's about to be suspended. However, once it's suspended, it's never notified that it's about to be terminated or that it has been terminated. So fortunately, you can handle the suspending event to quickly save the state of your app before it's suspended. And then if it does happen to be terminated, you're safe. So most of this work is going to happen in the app class. You can see that I have a new project called Managing State, which we're going to modify in here in a few moments. But we've never really looked at this app.xaml.cs class, and we've only worked with the app.xaml partial class, the XAML side of the equation. But as you can see, app derives from application, which is windows.ui.xaml.application, and it overrides some of the methods that are implemented in that class. And the app class is implemented in the app.xaml.cs. You override the methods of the app class that you want to handle inside of your app. The most important, I think, is this onLaunched event, which executes every time that your app is initially launched. It also, another important event is this onSuspending event that it handles. You can see it wires it up here with the suspending event. It basically wires it to the onSuspending method event handler that's created automatically here. And that gives you just this tiny window of opportunity to save the state of your app just in case it's terminated while being suspended. And, you know, at a higher level, if you take a look at all the code that is here by default and some of the code that gets added in, the app class provides a couple of valuable services to the rest of your application. First of all, it's the entry point for the app. If you take a look at the package AppX manifest, you can see that in the first application tab, there's this entry point. And so this will be the first thing that the operating system seeks to initialize or run or create an instance of whenever your app is loaded into the phone's memory. And then secondly, it helps you perform lifetime management. So when the user uses the physical buttons on the phone to switch away from your app or to go back to another app, or the operating system tells your app to go away for now, suspends it, or permanently terminates it, the app class implements methods that handle those events. And also it manages app scoped resources, not the least of which is the frame object for navigation purposes. Now, I'll talk about the frame in a little bit more in just a moment. We've already talked about it a little bit with regards to navigation. And when I say app scoped resources, we're not just talking about things like the frame, but also you can add your own properties, for example, to the app class in order to reference those properties or methods throughout the entire app. So you can think of it kind of as a global namespace. Also, recall from the lesson on styling your app that the app class can be used to create an application resources section, and any resources or styles that you define here will be available throughout all pages in your app. So when you think of the app class, think of this app scoped resource, something that's available to the entire app. The fourth thing that it allows you to do back here, and that we're not really, we don't see an implementation of this, but you can implement a way to catch any unhandled exceptions that are thrown by the various pages in your app. And so it's kind of like your last line of defense before it bubbles up to the operating system and your app just gets shut down. All right. So of all those responsibilities, I think probably the one of the most important is navigation. And so whenever the operating system launches your app, it provides your app a window to display in, which is usually the entire display surface of the phone. So instead of allowing you to work directly with that window, your app instead creates this frame object that represents the window, but it adds navigation feature. And you can see where that is created here. And we discussed this already in the lesson about navigation, but basically the frame object can load and unload objects that derive from windows.ui.xaml.controls.page. So in our main page.xaml.cs, you can see where main page partial class derives from this page class, which is the fully qualified namespace is windows.ui.xaml.controls.page. So the frame knows how to load and unload pages out of the window, essentially, for viewing by the end user. And then it also keeps a history of all the pages that were loaded in and out of the frame in the backstack, which is just an ilist of page stack entries, which just are essentially the page type. In this case, it would be main page is the name of the class, plus any parameters that may have been passed to it. So much of the setup work for all of that happens here in this app.xaml.cs, where there's a lot of playing around with the root and the root frame, rather, and making the root frame available, I think, as a public property here somewhere. It also turns on and off transitions, like animations, for loading and unloading purposes, depending on how your app was launched and so on. I don't want to get into all that. It's not really all that important. But honestly, what you're going to need to do is make sure that, so beyond managing the frame and navigation, the app class is responsible for the app's lifecycle, and specifically those scenarios where the app is about to be suspended. And so what you'll want to do is save the state of your application, not just the frame and its backstack and all of the information that it contains, but then also any application data that's not yet been permanently persisted to the phone storage. And so there's many different ways to save your data while your app is running prior to it going into the suspended state. But I'm going to demonstrate three easy ways to do this. And so the first technique is to employ something called the Suspension Manager. The second technique is to use the windows.storage.applicationdata.current.local setting. So local settings. And then the third is to use Navigation Helper. Now, fair warning. The Suspension Manager, the first one I mentioned, and the Navigation Helper, the third one that I mentioned, are not part of the phone's API. Instead, they are helper classes that are added to your project based on which project template you chose or which page template that you choose. So by default, the blank app template does not include these. However, I'm going to show you how to easily add those into your project, and it's all pretty quick and painless. So what I want to do is show you the problem first. So I'm going to start by creating an app that disregards the saving off state before suspension, just to show you what the problem really is. And then I will turn around and I'll show you the three techniques that I just mentioned to kind of solve this problem. So if you haven't already, make sure you create a new blank app template project called Managing State. And then what I want to do is add, so I'm going to right click, add a new item to the project, and I'm going to choose Basic Page. Now, I mentioned a moment ago during styling that, or navigation, I forget which one, that really the only difference between blank page and basic page is that you get this extra styling. Honestly, that's not the only difference. You actually get so much more when you add a basic page, and that's kind of the premise of this whole exercise. So I'm going to call this page2.xaml and click add, and notice that we get this dialog that says this addition depends on files that are missing from your project. Without these files, you must resolve dependencies on the common namespace manually. Do you want to add the missing files automatically? Yes, we absolutely do, because when we do that, you'll notice that a common folder has been added to our project. And inside of that common folder, there are two classes that we're going to rely on. The first is the Suspension Manager, and the second is the Navigation Helper. Now, I don't want to go into a long explanation of the internals of either of these. I haven't really taken the time to investigate how they do what they do, but I am interested in what utility they provide us. So now what I want to do is that I've added page two, I'm going to actually delete the main page. So I'm going to right-click this and say delete, and it'll be permanently deleted. I'm going to add a page one, a basic page called page one, and then I'm going to add another item called page three. All right, these should all, again, be the basic pages, not the blank pages. All right, then on each of these page definitions, what I want to do is, let's reconfigure this a little bit. What I want to do is go down to the grid here, the content root grid, and I'm going to paste in the following code on each of these pages. So starting with page number one, I'm going to paste in this code. And then additionally, what I want to do is change this text block up here, kind of in the title area. And instead of saying page title, I'll say page one on this page. I'm going to go to page two. I'll do the same operation. I'm going to paste in this stack panel code. Now, let me let you take a look at it. I apologize here. If you haven't had a moment to pause the video, if you want to follow along and recreate the stack panel plus two buttons and a text box. All right. And then we'll call this page two. And then finally, we'll go to page three. Again, pasting in our stack panel, changing the page to three, like so. And now what I want to do is go into the page1.xaml.cs file, and at the very bottom, beneath this section called Navigation Helper Registration, which we'll talk about later, I'm just going to paste in the following code. You can see that it creates event handlers for the previous button click and the next button click. These are the two buttons that we have added to each of the pages, page 1, page 2, and page 3. So I'm just implementing these two event handlers for the click button for each of those, as you can see here. So the easiest way, if you wanted to follow along with this, would be to select, put your mouse cursor on previous button, and then hit the F12 key on your keyboard, then come back and put the mouse cursor on the next button, click event handler, and hit the F12 on the keyboard, and then create these two code snippets. So if the frame can go back, then go back on the previous button. If the frame can go forward, then go forward. Otherwise, navigate to page 2. We're going to do the same thing here. I'm just going to copy this, and I'm going to go to page2.xaml. I'm going to paste this code in at the very bottom of this page, but I'll change this from going to page 2 to page 3 this time. And then finally, on page3.xaml, I'm going to scroll all the way down, and we'll return back to page 1. So it'll just loop from page 1 to page 2 to page 3 to page 1. All right? Great. Okay, if we were to attempt to run the application now, we're going to experience an error. And that's because the main page was directed by the app.xaml.cs file to be the opening page whenever the app is running initially. And so you can see in this line of code here that we're trying to navigate initially to main page, but it no longer exists. So we'll replace that with page 1, since that is our new starting point. And now let's go ahead and run the app. All right, so I'm going to go to the next page and then to the next page. And then what I'm going to do when I get to page number 3 is go back to Visual Studio. I'm going to leave it running, but I'm going to this lifecycle events dropdown, and I'm going to select suspend and shut down. And then I'm going to immediately rerun the app. And first of all, notice that we're returned back to page 1. If I were to go to the previous page, there's no previous page. So there's no, so the frame's backstack has been eliminated from memory. It has been completely shut down and removed, and no application state, no frame state has been saved. All right. So how can we fix this problem? Well, first of all, we can remedy the frame and the frame's backstack by employing the suspension manager. So in the app.xaml.cs, we're going to have to add some code to, first of all, register the suspension managers with the current frame that we want to use. And then when we are suspending the app, we want to tell the suspension manager to go ahead and save off the current frame and its various, you know, its page, its backstack. And then whenever we're loading the app again, if the app has been terminated previously, so if the previous execution state was terminated, then we'll need to load that frame and its backstack back into memory, and at which point we should be able to continue on as if we never stopped using the app, even if the phone's rebooted or whatever the case might be. All right, so let's go ahead and do this. This is going to require 3 lines of code. We just have to make sure we put them in the right places. So let me paste in, first of all, where we register the frame with the suspension manager. So we're going to look for the line of code here where we are looking for if root frame equals null, and then you get this create a frame to act as the navigation context, and then root frame equals new frame. Beneath that, I'm going to use the following line of code. Managing state.common.suspension manager, which references this class right here. We're going to call its register frame method, giving it both the frame that we want to work with. There's a root frame that was just created to represent the window that the app is giving our that the operating system is giving our app to work with, and then a name, app frame. Okay. Next of all, what we're going to want to do then is whenever we go into suspending, you can see there's this little to-do notification. Save application state and stop any background activity. So we're going to perform the first part of that, saving the application state. And so we will call the managing state dot common dot suspension manager dot save async. All right, so this again refers to this class, and we're calling it save async method. Now, for reasons that I don't want to discuss just yet, whenever you see the await keyword in your code and you get this long red squiggly line across the entire line, this means you have to add another keyword called async. That should make that red squiggly line go away. I devote an entire lesson to talking about await, async, and the task keywords. So I don't want to talk about that now. Just think whenever I see the red squiggly line and I'm missing the word async, but I have the word await that I'm using, you can see the await operator can only be used with an async method. Consider making this method async. So all we got to do here, just add the async keyword. So now we've saved the state of the frame using the save async method. The final thing that we're going to need to do is whenever we relaunch the app, we want to check to see if the current if the previous state was terminated, and if so, this is a good opportunity then to load back in the work that we've done. So once again, I'm going to copy and paste some code. Here we're calling await managing state common suspension manager. Again, this references the suspension manager class. And here I'm calling the restore async method, which should find the app frame, the root frame, and then restore that back. So from that point on, we'll be working with the rehydrated instance of our frame. Here again, I see the await keyword. That means I need to adorn this method signature with the async keyword, like so. All right, and then the final thing that we need to do before we run the app is to shut down the emulator. And why do we need to do this? Well, we've already terminated the app once. Therefore, the next time this code runs, this line of code here that we just implemented is going to try to restore an async, but the previous time we ran it, we never saved async, okay? So that's why we need to shut down and kind of reset the emulator so that we're kind of starting afresh, starting anew. All right, so I'm gonna go to the next page, and then I'm gonna stop here on page 3. I'm going to go back to Visual Studio. In the lifecycle events, I'm going to select suspend and shut down, making sure that I've left the emulator running. I'm going to rerun the app now. This time, notice that I'm on page 3. And when I select go to previous page, I can go back to page 2 and go back to page 1. And I can traverse back and forth through the back stack of the frame object. Very, very cool. Okay, so that is the benefit of using the suspension manager. And that takes care of the navigation state, I guess you could say, the previous state. What page was open the last time the user used the app before it was terminated? What was the back stack? Can I navigate back through just like I did the previous time that I used the app? And you can choose to implement this or not. If you don't want that behavior, you don't have to allow it. If you always want the user to start back on page 1, then don't implement any of this. This is just if you want to make the user, give the user the impression that they can continue on where they left off and nothing is lost. Okay? All right, so that takes care of frame state. How about application state? And by application state, I mean, you know, what if the user was typing in text into one of the text boxes that we added, and then they switch to another app on their phone and they forget, and memory pressure, or the phone runs out of battery, the app terminates, and now whatever they have written has been lost before we had a chance to save it permanently to disk, like we'll demonstrate later. Well, there are two different techniques for this, and I'll demonstrate the first one in the page1.xaml.cs. In fact, hold on, let me start with page1.xaml, and what we'll do is implement the onChange text change, that's the name of it, text change event, and I'll go ahead and allow it to create a new event handler. Put my mouse cursor on the word value text box underscore text change and hit the F12 key on my keyboard to create the method stub. And here what I'm going to do is I'm going to paste some code like so. All right, so we're creating a instance of local settings, and that will return back a application data container that we're calling local settings. And once we have local settings, it's implemented as a dictionary. I can give it the dictionary a key and then set it to a value like so. So in this case, whatever the user typed, every time the user changes text, it's going to update this windows.storage.applicationdata.current.localsettings. So local settings is just, again, a simple dictionary that's saved to the app's assigned storage area. There's also a similar storage area for each app called windows.storage.applicationdata.current.roamingsettings, which will save data into a folder that gets synchronized across all your devices. We're not going to demonstrate that. For now, I'm just going to stick with local settings. So it's just a little partitioned area for your app that allows you to save these dictionary settings, key value settings, okay? And so again, every time the text changes, we're going to update the values inside of local settings, inside of the key called value, we'll set it here. And then what we'll do is whenever the page is reloaded, we're going to work with this load state navigation helper underscore load state method. I'll explain what that is later. But for now, what we'll do is just paste in the following code. Like so. Here again, we're working with the local settings folder, the container. And we're going to check to see, does local settings have a key called value? And if it does, then we'll retrieve the value of, with the key of value, and set that to the value of our text property of our value text box. All right. So let's rerun the app. This time on page one, I'm going to type in something like Bob. And then what I'll do is go back to my lifecycle events and select suspend and shut down. Now, I've never clicked any button to save that word Bob permanently to storage or to send it to a web API. I've never really done anything meaningful with it, but that is the state of the app. The last time I was running it, I decided to switch away and look something up. I got sidetracked. I forgot what I was doing in this app, and now it's been terminated. The next time I run the app, I still want to see where I was at when I left off. So we have been able to retrieve that value and put it back in the text box. Awesome. All right, so that's one technique we can use. But there's a second technique that employs the navigation helper. Now, we've already used the navigation helper just a moment ago, but its main job is really this scenario, and that is to help you maintain application state for any data that you're currently working with. So as you can see back in page1.xaml.cs, we've already used one of its two events here that have been implemented in page1.xaml.cs. And I don't want to talk about how this is wired up to a given page and how it kind of hides the onNavigated to and onNavigated from events which are actually implemented down here in this navigation helper registration area that I'm going to ignore for now. But essentially, once our page is wired up to use the navigation helper, what we can do is work with this load state event args and the save state event args to save the current state of the current page whenever the app goes into suspension. So on page 2, .xaml.cs. We won't even need to touch the page2.xaml. Just in the page2.xaml.cs, we're just going to work with the load state and the save state. So in the save state, what I'll do is the following. Here I'm going to take whatever the user typed into the value text box.txt property, and I'm going to save that into this save state event args e. It has the save state event args has a page state property, which is again implemented as a dictionary. We'll give that dictionary a new key called value, and we'll set its value equal to our text box text property. So that's how we will save that data that the user was currently working on. Now to retrieve it, we're going to do something similar like we did before in the navigation helper load state method, and that is to first of all make sure that the page state exists and that it contains a key called value. And if it does, then we're going to retrieve that value. It's saved as an object, so we'll toString it and then set that to the text property of the value text box. So let's go ahead and rerun the app this time. And now we will go to the next page, and I'll just type in here Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, and I'll leave it there. I'll go back to Visual Studio in the lifecycle events and select suspend and shut down. And now I'll rerun the app, and I should come back to page 2 and see Tabor in the text box, and I do, and it absolutely worked. Awesome. So the key here is to understand that your app has a life cycle and you have tools to prepare for the move from suspension, which happens often, to termination, which happens less often but can be terminal for your app if you don't take some steps to save the current state of the app the last time the user was working with it. Such as the frames backstack, any values that you had already added to that the user had typed in or selected on your given pages and so on. All right, so the application data. That's all I wanted to say in this lesson. Hopefully you learned a lot about the lifecycle and how to manage state. We'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.